It's a tremendous pleasure to be here. I have to thank my dear friend, Rabbi Elishayov, for making the shidduch. He's able to spend some time here, cousin of the Rav. Got to see a video, went out to see firsthand about the tremendous Kol Torah, which is taking place here in the summer. It's a beautiful Kiddush Hashem, and it uplifts the whole community and all Klal Yisrael. So that's the Shev Divrei Musar. So good at giving Musar, I'm not so good at anything really, but especially Divrei Musar is not my forte. But I think that Musar is about Yerushalayim, and hopefully what will come out of this will be something we could take away, an aspect of Pnimius HaTorah, which we can glean a lot of Yerushalayim from. There's a very interesting Musag concept which the Svarim speak about here and there, which has its roots in the Medrash, really a Pasuk in the Navi. The Kedushas Levi, the Baditshever, he makes reference to this concept in this past week's Parsha. V'haya Ekev Tishma'un. And he says the following thing. Ekev is a lashon of the heel, something basof, something at the end. V'haya, and it will be, Ekev, at the end of days, Tishmu, and you will hear something special. What are you going to hear? So he references the Medrash. The Medrash says, based on the pasuk we mentioned in the Navi, Navi Yeshaya, Hashem says, Torah chadasha me'iti teitzei, that a new Torah will emerge. And in these weeks of what's called the Zayin Dechemta, the 7 weeks of Nechama, part of the Nechama that we will experience Lasa Lava will be what's called Torah Chadasha Me'iti Teitzei, a new Torah. Anybody who hears these words, you're thinking to yourself, hopefully, Torah Chadasha, there's going to be a new Torah? Come on, Yeshua Rubenstein, don't you know that one of the 13 principles of the Ani Ma'amin is that there will never be a new Torah? So what does it mean, Torah Chadasha Me'iti Teitzei? That the Navi says there will be a new Torah. So all the Meforshim across the board, from the Litvisher to the Sfaradim to the Talmid Baal Shem Tov, that includes the Chidah, as I'll share with you momentarily, the Vilna Gaon, the Maggid from Ezrich, and more. Thank you very much. They all tell us, they all say, that Torah Chadasha just means that there will be a new face to Torah, that when Hashem reveals the secrets of Torah, the Pnimius HaTorah, we'll look at the Torah and we'll say, wow, I never saw a Torah like this. The Torah will look so new because it will bring out the riches and the depths of Torah that we'll look at it and we'll see, what Masechta are you learning here? Shabbos you're doing?
Yeah.
You look at Shabbos and you'll say, I never saw Shabbos like this. I never knew that you could have a Shabbos like this, that you could learn Shabbos like this. Like the Pasuk says in the Navi, Ushafta Mayim Besasan Mimayne HaYeshua, that there will be wellsprings of knowledge of Kedusha from the Mayonim called Mayone Yeshua, from these springs. And the Targum Yonatan there says Ulpan Chadas, which means new Torah. And the Chidah says on the spot in Chumash Hanach, what does that mean? Ulpan Chadat? A new teachings, new Torah. She is Shrabe Hashefa V'yelamdu Razi HaTorah V'nirek HaTorah Chadash. Because of the revelations of secrets of Torah, it will look like a new Torah. Of course, the Christians came along and they took this concept and they twisted it. And they came up with their false ideologies and they presented their New Testament and new Torah, meaning they took the secret of Torah, what's called Torah Chadasha, and they distorted it. But the truth is, that this Torah, which is Torah Smaisha, is the only Torah and there will never be a new Torah. So any talk in Chazal, in the Nevi'im, has to come together with this Yesod Hadat, which is that there can only be one Torah, and that's Torah Smaisha. Now let's try to explain the relevance of this concept of Torah Chadasha as we see from the Parsha, and if it's in the Parsha, it's relevant to the times. What's the association with Ushafta Mayim Besasim Yimayne HaYeshua? It sounds like the Simchas Beis HaShoeva, which took place in the times of the Beis HaMikdash, those 7 days, They have a deep spiritual connection to this concept called Torah Chadasha. Why should that be? Why not Pesach? Why not Shavuos? Isn't Shavuos the giving of the Torah? And furthermore, let's go back only a week or so ago to Tu B'Av, one of the most mysterious days in the Jewish calendar. The Mishnah tells us at the end of Maseches Tainis, Lo hayu yomim tavim liYisrael kechamisha asar ba'av v'chi Yom HaKippur. They have not had such amazing days in the Jewish calendar like Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur. So already the Gemara says, what's going on over here? Yom Kippur, you understand, because it's a day of Slicha Mechila, and it's a day that the Lucha Shniyos is forgiven, the giving of the second Luchos. I understand why Yom Kippur is such a great Yontiv. But Tu B'Av, what is it? What is Tu B'Av? You're comparing it to Yom HaKippurim? That's a big statement. So the Gemara goes along and it gives six different reasons why Tu B'Av is a Yontif. Anybody who knows the end of Maseches Tainis who knows those reasons, a few of them are that the Shvatim were allowed to intermarry, Shevi Binyamin were allowed back into the fold after the tragedy of Pilag Shbegiva, Korban Tamid, different associations. But after learning that Gemara, you look at these six reasons and you're like, how does this still match up with Yom Kippur? You had just said Yom Kippur, Slicha Mechila, the giving of the second Luchos, and now you're trying to dig and to find reasons why Tu B'Av is a Yontev, and you walk around the Gemara still puzzled by this mystery called, what is Tu B'Av? What's this Yontev called Tu B'Av? Let's get to the source of this concept called Torah Chadasha Me'iti Teitzei. It's really a Medrash in Vayikra Rabbah. The Medrash describes a very interesting event which will take place in the times of Mashiach. There's going to be a duel, a showdown between two giant animals, the Leviathan and what's called the Shor HaBar, the largest of the sea creatures and the largest of the animal creatures. They're going to have a war, they're going to have a fight, and the Medrash explains that this one will kill this one and this one will kill that one, and the Tzaddikim will be able to partake of this food, meaning the flesh of the Leviathan and the flesh of the Shor HaBar. If you take a look at the Be'er Halacha, which is the Chafetz Chaim's explanation of the Mishnah Berurah, and the very first siman in Hilchos Shabbos, he explains there that the reasons why we eat fish on Shabbos and meat on Shabbos and yayin on Shabbos is because it's all allusions to what will take place in the times to come. Shabbos is what's called Me'in Olam Haba. And in the times of Mashiach, we're going to have a very special wine called the Yain HaMashumar Banav Misheshes Mevereshes, the Yain from the Gan Eden. And we're going to partake of the meat of the Shor HaBar. And we're going to partake of the flesh, of the meat, of this Leviathan. So we eat fish on Shabbos. And we have to eat meat on Shabbos, because Shabbos is a day of La'as Elavim. But anyways, the Medrash asked the question, is this a kosher shechita? The Leviathan kills the Shor HaBar. What, he came with a shechita knife? And the Shor HaBar shechted the Leviathan, it can't be. So how could you say that the flesh will be mutter for people to eat? So on this, the Medrash says, Amar of Aben Bar Kahana, Amar Kodesh Baruch Hu, Torah Chadasha Me'iti Teitzei, don't worry about it. This has to do with the new Torah that Hashem is going to teach. It's not going to need to have shechted. And then the Medrash goes on to say, Hashem will do something very special for His servants, for the tzaddikim in those times. Kol mi shelo achal nevelus b'lamazeh, anybody who didn't put into his mouth anything treifus, zeichel lirayis olam haba, you'll be zeichel to this secret, you'll be zeichel to partake in this in the times to come. Lefikach Moshe ma'azal Yisrael, therefore Moshe, he warns us, and he says, zos ha'chaya asher tochlu, be very careful what you put into your mouth. So we see that there's a kesher between the Torah Chadasha Me'iti Teitzei and the eating of the Leviathan and the Shor HaBar in the times of Mashiach to come. What's interesting, now if a Chazal ever make a teaching, whether it's an Agadic teaching or a Halachic teaching, in a particular place, that's because this teaching relates specifically to the topic at hand. In this case, if the halacha of Torah Chadasha is being taught in regards to halacha of ma'achalat asurat, of eating forbidden foods, that means that there's a connection between the two things. And as the Medrash says, be careful for what you put into your mouth so that you should be zeicha to that Torah Chadasha la'asalava. We see by the giving of the Torah, the very first Torah, the only Torah, but the first Torah, that Chazal say that when Hashem taught Torah to Bnei Yisrael, Mipi Hagvura, Shamu Manech Hashem Alokecha, from the mouth of Hashem, which Chazal called the Peh Hagvura, they were Zechet to Torah. Why do Chazal have to say Mipi Hagvura? Hashem gave Torah. Hashem said to Bnei Yisrael, Mipi Hagvura means, and it's suggesting to us, that in order to be Zechet to Torah, a person needs to have a Peh Hagvura. He needs to have a very... He needs to be a gibur when it comes to his peh. What comes out of his mouth, chas v'shalom, he should speak lashon hara. V'dibar tabam, he should speak words of Torah. But also what goes into one's mouth. A person needs a peh agvura. That's what Chazal say, that Hashem made a lot of shoymim in the mouth. The teeth is a shoymer, and the lips are a shoymer. Because the lashon is like a cherev. It's even shaped like a cherev. It could do harm. Hachayim ha-mavet spi'ad ha-lashon. So we need very strong gates. Gatekeepers to the koach ha-peh. And if a person has a peh ha-gvura, he can be zeichet to Torah Chazal Shemit Teitzeh. What do we see an example of this? By Purim. By Purim, where do we see this concept? Because we know that Mordechai warned Bnei Yisrael at the time to not go to the Suda of Achashverosh. Why not? Why not go? It seemed like a very good political move to go to that Suda. Achashverosh feasted for 180 days plus 7 more days. And the Medrash says in the Pasuk, V'hashtiya kadat ein ones, that everything was glat kosher l'mahadrin. There was no yayin nesach, even the Medrash says. There was not going to be any bishulei akum. They had mashkichim everywhere. What would be the problem? So Mordechai, he understood that aside from the fact that he understood that there was going to be Zunus there, and he was able to see the writing on the wall in terms of what Achashverosh and Haman were up to. But there was still some aspect in Halacha which was off. Very interesting. Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, he writes in his Sefer Ya'aros Devash, he makes the following calculation based on the Medrash. Why does the Megillah have to tell us that the party was 180 days? Which 180 days in the Jewish calendar did this party fall out on? Interesting. If the Megillah tells you a number, it's to be understood when and how. So says the Medrash that these 180 days was from Rosh Chodesh Nisan until Rosh Chodesh Tishrei. 6 months. 6 times 30, 180. It began Rosh Chodesh Nisan, which by the way was the inauguration of the Mishkan. And that's because the palace of Achashverosh was in order to be a Zelu Mazeh to... I mean, the whole purpose of the Suda of Achashverosh was to say there was never going to be a Beis HaMikdash anymore. And so the very first Mikdash was the Mishkan, and it was inaugurated in Rosh Chodesh Nisan. And the palace and the whole Malchus of Achashverosh was to deny that. Rosh Chodesh Nisan until Rosh Chodesh Tishrei, which is Rosh Hashanah. Out of respect for Rosh Hashanah, because even Achashverosh realized and appreciated the Malach Machiam Lachim, the Jewish God, he was very afraid of the Jewish God, find it very clear in Chazal, he gave off Rosh Hashanah. 2 days Rosh Hashanah, they were in Golis, so there's 2 days, not just 1 day in Eretz Yisrael. They were in Bavel, Paras and Madai. Then another 7 days, which culminated on Erev Yom Kippur. Therefore, these days of Aseret Yemei Tshuva were the last 7 days of the party of Achashverosh. And the Ramah writes in Hilchos Aseret Yemei Tshuva that although eating pas akum is allowed, if it's made by a goy, if it's pas palter, if it's mass produced, it's mutter and halacha to eat pas akum, bread which is baked by a goy. However, during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, everybody in Klal Yisrael is careful not to eat pas akum, not to eat bread from an akum, from a goy, during Aseret Yemei Tshuva. And this, says Rav Yonasan Eibshitz, was the problem. Throughout the whole year, pas akum, mutter. During Aseret Yemei Tshuva, aser. And this is where they were going to get Klal Yisrael. On this Ramah, and Hilchos Aseret Yemei Tshuva, Mordechai saw that going to happen. 180 days, everything was perfectly glat kosher. They were eating pasakim, it would be mutter. So who would even realize that it's not to eat pasakim during the 7 days? Mordechai Yitzhak. And he warned them, and he said, Machalas Asuras, be very careful. Machalas Asuras. And of course, everything turned around. And that was the beginning of the Nais with the death of Vashti. you see that they were so careful in the halacha, machalas asiras. From here emerged the Yeshua of Bnei Yisrael, but Torah chadasha me'iti teitzei. There was a new Torah which was given over to Bnei Yisrael, and that's called Megillas Esther. Of course, it doesn't come to replace the first Torah, and it's another sefer nach. But there was a new Torah that Klai Yisrael was zeichet to. We have Megillas Esther now. Torah chadasha me'iti teitzei. What's interesting is that the Medrash tells us that at this party, Ahasuerus took out what the pasuk calls Ve'et Yekar Tiferes Gedulasai. Baharos says Osha Kavon Machusel Ve'et Yekar Tiferes Gedulato. Yeah. So the Medrash says, what are all these things referring to? So one day the Medrash says Yekar, that's a Sefer Torah. He took out a Sefer Torah and he showed it to Bnei Yisrael who were sitting at the Suda. To the Goyim there, to the Yidden who were there. Why is he taking out a Sefer Torah? We know that he took out Big Day Kahuna and so on. Why did he take out a Sefer Torah? But in Pimius, there was a remez here that taking out the Sefer Torah meant an allusion to the fact that a new Torah would come forth. That wasn't what he had in mind. But anything which happens has a deeper shoresh. And the shoresh of taking out the Sefer Torah and displaying it and showing it to everybody means that, especially from Ahasuerus, that there's going to be a Torah which is going to be produced from this Torah, from this Ahasuerus. Vayhibi mi Ahasuerus. There's a new Torah from Ahasuerus. This takes us to the inyan of Tisha B'Av and Tu B'Av. Maybe we'll come back to Purim a little bit later. Tisha B'Av and Tu B'Av. One of the things that we mourn on Tisha B'Av, besides for the decimation of Klai Yisrael throughout all the ages, there's a kina that we say, which is called Sha'ali Srufa, which has to do with the burnings of scriptures, of Svarim HaKadoshim, which took place in France in the times of the Bali HaTosfos, Rabbi Chilmi Paris, in that Kufa, where on the sixth day of the week, Parshas Chukas, in that year, many, many scrolls, Torah scrolls, and Svarim were thrown into the streets and burned. The great Talmud, one of the great Rishonim, who was a Talmud of Chilmi Paris, Rav Maharami Rutenberg, he wrote this kina, where he laments the tragedy of not only the slaughtering of so many Jews at the time, but also the Kisvei Kodesh. And he writes there the following thing: Oyrid demaus adi yihyu kanachal. Let me cry tears which will flow like a river. V'yagiu l'kibbutz shnei sari atzilayach Moshe v'Aaron, and that let this stream of tears make its way to the tomb of Moshe and Aharon on Hor HaHar. Ve'eshal, and I will ask, Hayesh Torah Chadasha? Is there a new Torah? V'chein nisifu gegilayach. It's for that purpose the scrolls have been burnt. Very interesting. That he's saying, Hayesh Torah Chadasha? This is his question. Is there a new Torah? For this purpose has the scrolls been burnt? What does he mean to say? What he means to say in Pneumius is that whenever something, there's a very important principle to know, whenever something returns to nothingness, returns to its roots, it's because it's going to have a rebirth and to become new again. In this case, the fact that the Torah made its way into the fire, and the fire is the shoresh of Torah. Torah is called an Eish Torah, Eish Dos Lamo, the Kibshan Eish, which was on Har Sinai, that the Torah describes, is the place from where the Torah comes from. Torah is fire. The fact that the Torah was thrown into fire means that the Torah is going to have a rebirth. The Torah is going to be rejuvenated. To which he says, Hayesh Torah Chadasha, is this a siman that there will be new Torah? That there will be new revelations in Torah? V'chein nisifu gililayach. That's why the scrolls have been burned. Because it's a hint that a new Torah is going to emerge. So on the one hand, Tisha B'Av, yes, it's a very tragic day. It's the destruction of the Beis HaMikdash. The Beis HaMikdash was set on fire. But if the Beis HaMikdash is set on fire, that means that there's going to be a new Mikdash. Anybody who's Mis'abel al Yerushalayim is Zaychel Yerosa B'Binyanah. That from the depth of the Churban will emerge rebirth and a new Binyan. That's true for the fire which consumed the Mikdash and the fire which consumes Torah. There's going to be new Torah. As the Pasuk says in Eicha, Malkeh V'Sareh Abagoyim, when Klai Yisrael and Galus, ain't Torah. Ein Torah means Torah comes into a state of ayin, of complete nothingness, but it will be refreshed. So the little bit of hope which we have on Tisha B'Av, as we sit on the floor, we consider the fact that the Torah has been consumed, has been destroyed. Part of the Nechama which takes place from Chatzot and onward is that there's going to be a reemergence of Torah. That there's a tikvah within the tragedy, that there's going to be a new Torah. Torah chadasha mi'iti teitzei, as the Navi says. And Rabbi said, this is really the Nechama of Tu B'Av. The idea of Tu B'Av, if we go back to the Gemara had said, Tu B'Av and Yom Kippur, same. Then Chazal said, same, Yom Kippur, Tu B'Av. Is Yom Kippur not a day of Slicha Mechila and also the giving of the second Luchos? What does second Luchos mean? First Luchos was Chag HaShavuos, but the Luchos were destroyed on Shiva Sabbatamos, which is the beginning of the 3 weeks, which symbolizes the destruction of Torah. Giving of the Luchos Shniyos, Torah Chadasha. Of course it wasn't a new Torah, it's a continuation of the first Torah, but it's the second Luchos. So you see that Yom Kippur represents the idea, Torah Chadasha Me'iti Teitzei. And really the day of Tu B'Av is linked to Yom Kippur because that's exactly what Tu B'Av is. So if the Gemara gives 6 reasons why Tu B'Av is a Yontav, and you're scratching your head at the end of the Gemara, you're telling me Tu B'Av is like Yom Kippur? Where is that? Yom Kippur, greatest day in the calendar. Tu B'Av, 6 reasons, you're still left like, what's going on? That's because Tu B'Av has not yet been revealed. There are going to be Yomim Tovim and Regalim, new Yomtas which will come forth in the times of Mashiach. Tu B'Av is one of those days. And if you're sensitive to the Lashon of Chazal, you'll hear very carefully, listen very carefully to the Lashon of the Mishnah. Lo hayu yomim tovim leYisrael kechamisha asa ba'av yechamipon. Shouldn't the Lashon of the Mishnah had said, yomim tovim leYisrael, gedoylim, atzumim ma'od, yom kippur, chamisha asa ba'av. What's the Lashon of the Midrash? Mishnah, listen again. Lo hayu yomim tovim leYisrael. That can be translated as follows. There have not yet been days like Yom Kippur and Tu B'Av. Because even Yom Kippur is a yontav which is kind of like blossoming still. Can you say that Yom Kippur is a din simcha on Yom Kippur? There's a din inoy, a din simcha. Simcha is a din in Pesach, Shavuos, and Sukkot. That's Shalosh Regalim. Just like there's no din simcha on Shabbos, Pashtus, there's no din simcha, although there's a medrash which seems to be sois to that. But Pashtus is that there's no din simcha on Shabbos, there's a din oneg on Shabbos, there's a covet Shabbos, but there's no din simcha on Shabbos. Lohayu Yomim Tovim LeYisrael means Yom Kippur is not yet a Yomtiv. And Tu B'Av is not yet a Yomtiv. When will it be a Yomtiv? In the times of Mashiach. What's going to be the reason behind the Yomtiv of Tu B'Av? Exactly like Yom Kippur. Just like Yom Kippur was the day of the giving of Luchos Shniyos, that's Torah Chadasha, Tu B'Av also will be a Yomtiv because of the giving of Luchos Shniyos. And lots of love, Tisha B'Av and Tu B'Av will be one Yomtiv. Because a Yontav is 7 days. So Tisha B'Av is the 9th of Av, and then it's going to be a 7-day Yontav. The 9th, the 10th, the 11th, the 12th, 13th, 14th, 15th. The 15th, which is Tu B'Av, will be the 7th day of that Yontav. Just like Pesach is first day Yontav, last day Yontav, in between is a Chol HaMoed. So Tisha B'Av will be a Yontav, and Tu B'Av will be a Yontav. Tisha B'Av as a Yontav celebrating the reconstruction of the Beis HaMikdash. Tu B'Av as a reconstruction of the Torah Kedoshah. That will be the Yontav of Tu B'Av, which is why it's alluded in this week's parsha. V'haya Ekev Tishmu'un. The Ekev Tishmu'un, like the Kedusha Slavi had said, you will see. It's going to be a very special day. Ekev Tishmu'un, Torah Chadasha Me'iti Teitzei, as the Navi had said. There's a beautiful Medrash. The Medrash is describing L'Asalavo, like the giving of this Torah Chadasha, Tzin Yalkut Shimani, Yenach, Tav Chav Ches, Tav Chav Tes. It's going on the pasuk Upischu Sha'arim V'yovoi Goy Tzadik Shalom Yamun. Open up the gates and allow the Goy, the nation of Tzadikim, to come. Shomer Emunim. And I'm going to make the Medrash short, but the Medrash says that one of the great Tzadikim in the times of the Nevi'im and the times of the Tekuf for the second Beis HaMikdash, Sefer Ezra, was Zerubbabel. Zerubbabel, many of you haven't perhaps heard of Zerubbabel, but in the times of Mashiach, he's going to be a very important person. The Medrash explains that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to come. Also, the Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yosef Gan Eden, is going to sit in the Gan Eden. V'doyresh and Hashem is going to darshan the Torah. The Kol HaTzadikim Yoshin Lefanav, and all the Tzadikim will be sitting in front of him. And the Kol Pamal Yoshal Maila, all the Malachim, Oindim Araglehim, they'll be standing there. The Chama and the Mazalos will be to the right of Hashem. The Levana and the Kichim will be to the left. I'd like to see it inside. It's a fascinating description. The Kadosh Baruch Hu, Yoshev V'doyresh, Hashem will be sitting in the middle, and he'll darshan Torah Chadasha. Sha'as Tzadikinai V'Mashiach. That Mashiach will reveal. The Kivin Shemesayim Hagadol, when Mashiach finishes giving his drasha, Oymid Zerubbabel ben Shealtiel, Zerubbabel will get up on his feet. Ve'oymin, he'll say, Yisgadol v'iskadosh mirab. He's going to make a kaddish. Like many of us are careful after a drasha to say a kaddish, Sfarim are especially careful with that halacha. Ve'kolo holich misayif olam v'atsayif. And the whole world will hear this kaddish, and everybody's going to answer amen. Af v'shoy yisol, even the Rishoyim and the tzaddikim who worship the Vodazor in their lifetime, in the Gehenna will see Amen. Hear this? Even the Rishonim in the Gehenna will see Amen to this Kaddish. Now listen to this. Well, Mesrayi Sha'olim is going to be a big tumult. At Shenishma Kol Tzakas HaKadosh Baruch Hu, until their cries of the Rishonim in the Gehenna will come before HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Hushay Hashem will say, Ma Kol HaRash HaGadol? What's this great noise that I'm hearing, Shoshamati? Umeshivi Malachi Asheres, the Malachim will answer Hashem and will say, Ribbono Shel Olam, Eilu Rishei Yisrael v'Tzadikim of the Elilim, Shenishtayer B'Gehenim Sh'oinim Amim v'Tzadikim El Mitzadim. This is the Amin of the Rishayim and the Gehenim who are saying Amin. And they're being Matzdik Elim Mitzadim, they're accepting their faith in the Gehenim. Miyad Misgaglim Racham V'Shel Kodesh Baruch Hu Aleihem B'Yoyser, Hashem's compassion will awaken tremendously on these Rishayim. For Amen, Hashem will say, Ma Asalhem Yoisel Dinze, Kvesigar Lehem, it's really not their fault, it's the Tzahara's fault. At that time, Hashem will take his keys to the Gehenna. He's going to give it to Michael and to Gabriel in front of all the Tzaddikim. And Hashem will say, Pishu Shari Gehenna Ve'ahad Oisa, open the gates of the Gehenna and take them out. Mihad Holim Avtech, they're going to go with their keys, and they're going to open, the Medrash says, 8,000 gates of the Gehenna. Each one 300 meos parsa and 300 meos parsa. And 1,000 parsa deep. It's a big place. And Michael and Gabriel are going to pull each and every one of them out. As it says, Vayalini Bibor Sha'ayim. And they're going to get new clothes, and they're going to be brought before HaKadosh Baruch Hu lifnei kol ha-tzadikim. And the Pasuk calls them Kaihanecha v'chasidecha, Hashem's chasidim. Hashem's Kohanim, Hashem's Chassidim. And they're going to be Mamlech HaKadosh Baruch Hu V'noif La'apnem U'mishtach Abim. And everybody's going to shir V'shevach V'ayitoh At HaKadosh Baruch Hu. As it says, V'yiramimuhu B'kal Am U'v'meshev Z'kein Mihalilu. And then the Medrash is G'doy Lo Ha'amuna. How great it is to say Amin to a Baruch Hu, because in the schus of that Amin that the Rishon will answer, everybody in Klai Yisrael is going to have a big Yeshua. Even the biggest Rishon. This connects back to Purim, as I mentioned before, we swing back to it. Because there was one thing that the Tzaddikim say that Mordechai and Esther were very careful about in their home. And that was making brachas and saying amen to their brachas. Where is that alluded to? Because it says in Pasuk that Mordechai raised Esther. Vayehi oimen es hadasa. Oimen es hadasa. He raised her. He raised hadasa. So I forget which parish it is. Who says, Vayihi Oymin Es Hadassah, means that Mordechai was very careful to teach Esther to answer Amen to all the brachas. Fascinating. Vayihi Oymin Es Hadassah, that he was careful to teach her to say Amen. Makes sense too, because one of the things that we say about Mordechai and Esther, we say, Baruch Mordechai and Brucha Esther. Baruch Mordechai means that he's careful in brachas. And Brucha Esther means she's careful in brachas too. Mordechai is called a tzaddik, yeah? Mordechai is called a tzaddik. How many times do you have to answer Amen every day? Anybody know? 90 times. 90 is the gematria of the letter Tzadi. So Mordechai Tzadik means that he was careful in 90 Amens a day. And he taught that to Esther. And as the Pasuk says, Pischu goi Tzadik shomer emunim. Chazal say, Al tikri shomer emunim el shomer amenim. That was the schus in which the Rishonim commanded the Gehenim. And this has a lot to do with Purim, but it's not the time to be marach. We have to come to a close. But just to be Messiah with a story in the Negamatria. there was a great tzaddik, the Sar Shalom from Belz, the first Belzer Rebbe, and the Zera Kodesh from Russia, it's the Russia Rebbe, both Talmidim and the Maggid, the Chodesh from Lublin. And the Rav Shitzur Rebbe was spending Shabbos in a nearby town, and the Sar Shalom sent his children to go spend Shabbos with the Rav Shitzur Rebbe. They went and they spent Shabbos. After Shabbos was over, the Rav Shitzur said, "I was hoping that your father would have come and spent Shabbos too with me." So they took that as a hint that maybe the Rav Shitzur would stay another Shabbos nearby if the Sar Shalom from Belz would come spend Shabbos along with him. So they went and they told their father what the Rav Shitzur had said. And the Sar Shalom had agreed that he would come and spend Shabbos with the Rav Shitzur, as he would stay nearby in the city, I think it's called Razla, for another Shabbos, and the Rav Shitzur agreed. And there was a big commotion in the Olam HaChassidus that these two great tzaddikim would be spending Shabbos together. Thousands and thousands of the Chassidim converged on that town to spend Shabbos with these two great tzaddikim, because already the Rav Shitzur was a Zakein, and they assumed that these tzaddikim wouldn't be together much longer in the world. And they packed into a room Friday night davening, the Belzer Chassidim, the Rav Shitzur Chassidim, and many others from nearby towns. And you couldn't breathe. There were so many people in the room that the candles, they all blew out because there was no oxygen. So the Rav Shitzur turned to the Belzer Rav, and he said to him, he said, "No." He said, "Maybe you should take your oilam and to go daven in the room next door." He says, "Conditions are unbearable." So the Belzer Rav, he went like this, shook his head, and he said, no, not going. A few minutes later, it's getting tighter, and the Rav Shitzur turns to the Sar Shalom from Belz, and he says, "Rebbe," he says, "you know, it's getting tighter in here, and Sakanas Nefashas, I think she took her oil next door." He says, "No, not going." Happens a third time, he's not going. Afterwards, the davening is over, and the Belzer Rav comes to his children and he says to them afterwards, "Do you know what was going on? Why is it that the Rav Shitzur Rebbe did not want me and us to stay in the room at the time?" "Well, of course, Tati, it's obvious, because it was the Sakanas Nefashos. That's not why." He says, "The Zera Kodesh, Rav Shitzur Rebbe, he knows the kavanas and the secrets of that Kaddish that Zerubbabel will say in the times of Mashiach. And when he says the Kaddish on Friday night before Arvis, before Ma'ariv, he's machavin the Seidus, the Kavanas, of that Kaddish that Zerubbabel will say. And whatever secret be known to him, he didn't want me to know the Kavanas of that Kaddish, so he asked us to leave the room. But I knew that I had to stay to hear him say that Kaddish, to glean those secrets. And let me tell you," he says to his son, to his children, "I gleaned treasures and treasures from that Kaddish. Treasures. To hear the Rav Shitzur say that Kaddish. Hear them say that Kaddish." And really, this whole idea of that Kaddish and the Rav Shitzur, you know how the Rav Shitzur said, "What's the Torah Chadash and Iti Teitza?" You know what that Torah is? You know what that Torah is? This is what he said. He says, just like when the Torah talks about the travels of Bnei Yisrael in the Midbar, it says, "Vayisu, Vayachanu, Vayisu, Vayachanu." We're going to say about Rav Menachem Mendel from Rimanov, when he traveled from this city to that city, this city to that city, that's also going to become Torah. Because just like the experiences that Klal Yisrael had in the Midbar, that became Torah. And the Nevi'im, that became Torah. There's a lot of tzaddikim and there's a lot of things taking place. That will become Torah too. That's also Torah. And that's really why Motzei Shabbos is an Indian to speak about Sipuri Tzaddikim. Because Shabbos is the day that the Torah was given. And Motzei Shabbos is a time that we talk about tzaddikim because that will also become Torah. That's also Torah too. And that's what Tuba represents, that from the depths of the Churban of Torah, which took place on Tisha B'Av, Torah Chadash and Miti Teitze, whether it's the revelation of the secrets of Torah, or like the Rav Shitzur himself explained, that all of the tzaddikim, from every single walk of Yiddishkeit, there's going to be Torah from that also. And speaking about Sipuri Tzaddikim gives us a chiyas, and that's part of the Torah Chadash and Miti Teitze. So just with Derech Rem, as we said before, this goes back to Tuba B'Av. Torah Chadash and Miti Teitze. So if you take the words Torah Chadash Miti Teitze, I'm not going to speak out the gematrias, you can figure it out on your own, but you have to know one thing. There's a type of gematria that the Arizal uses very often, which is called Milui. Anybody know what Milui is? Every letter in Torah can be spelled out to spell a word. So Aleph, right, is one in gematria, but if you spell out the letter Aleph, Aleph Lamed Pei, so you have more. That's called Milui. You're filling in the letters. So Aleph could be one, but Aleph Lamed Pei is 111. Beis could be two, But Beis Yotaf is 412. V'chule v'chule. Every letter can make words. And this is very commonly used throughout Seder HaTorah and Pnimas HaTorah. So in this case, if you take Torah Chadasha, Me'iti Teitze, yeah? So Me'iti Teitze is Gematria. If you take Tes of, which is Tisha B'Av, right? Tes. And you spell out Miloy, Tes of. You spell it out. It's Gematria Me'iti Teitze. Because the Torah will emerge from Tisha B'Av. Right? That's the source of the Torah Chadasha. The burning of the Torah, which we lament on Tisha B'Av, Me'iti Teitze is Gematria Tes of B'Miluya. But Torah Chadasha Me'iti Teitze, when will that Torah Chadasha be in his gala? On Chamisha Asar B'Av. So Torah Chadasha is Gematria Chamisha Asar B'Av. Same Gematria. We should be Zeiche, as we're sitting here and learning here, it's all hachanas for that time. V'haya ikav tisham to be zeichet to witness and to see and to hear that kaddish and to be zeichet to be shoymeya to hear that drasha of Zerubbabel and to experience everything the Chazal spoke about the Shor Habor and the Levyasin and all these things. We have great treasures which are awaiting us, and everybody who is here and all the clients will be zeichet to partake of that. Yishzeichet to the tefillah of Mashiach Tzidkenu. Amen.